Jehovah or your messenger, just forget I came here today. And let's just roll it back. I can fast today. Let's just forget I'm in this vineyard. I won't tell anybody if you won't tell anybody. You go on back to Jehovah. I'll go on home, find another place to fresh my grain. I mean, you know, who would have thought when he got up in the morning and went out there to the vineyard to try to get enough bread to feed his family, this danged angel would show up. All I wanted to do was pick up the news. The damn TV was set on the wrong channel, and there you were. It's we damn messengers of Jehovah that create the problems. Just think what all of you would have been spared if you had never turned me on. Let's just forget about it. Go home. Because he's never going to be the same. Hey, you, with your rear end in the air, and he wasn't praying either. Just trying to make some bread. Hey, you, the Lord, Jehovah, the Gibor, the Mighty One of Kail, control of all strength and power, is with you. No wonder this poor jerk said, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Makes a lot of sense. You know, I can preach this message and be hard on Gideon. Right now I'm in the mood to be kind of sympathetic with it. Depends on where you slice the cake of these two chapters. Can't say I blame the guy. I've already told you. Depends on which mood I'm in when I arrive in heaven, but I most probably will punch out Adam first. Just give Eve a good cussing as I go by. Then ask God why in the hell he doesn't get himself a watch and a calendar. He's never on time. He always shows up after I've given up or shows up before I'm ready to get started. He's never been on time in my 63 years, not once. What is that? I mean, what can you do with a person who lives where there's no time? Huh? Well, you're a day late. What's that? We don't keep those records up here. If, I bet I don't get any further than I did with the Spanish helper. If, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. That's telling him, Gideon. That gets his head pretty good. The curly hair of that angel. You ever felt like talking that way to God? I did this morning. You tricked me, God. You made me think I was getting better yesterday. I needed a message that gave me an opportunity to sit down occasionally today. Gideon makes a lot of sense. If the Lord be with us, what in the hell is all this happening to us for? Can we give old Gideon an amen? Amen, Gideon. Now, for 17 and a half years, I've been pretty hard on Gideon. I just think he deserves a little bit of understanding today. Esto lo que yo dije. What I said. You know, and I think this next line's got a lot of flavor to it, if you just think about it. Here's Gideon coming back with that speech. You notice it doesn't, you know, there's some kind of transition going on here all of a sudden. It doesn't say the angel of the Lord looked at him. I mean, Gideon must have shocked some kind of transubstantiation. Because what he says after Gideon's speech, and the Lord looked upon him. And said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the land of the Midianites. What is his might? Have not I sent thee? And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Well, I got this handful of grain I sneaked out through the night. You crazy, God? Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold! You're always going to get a good one when behold is in front of it. I grew up in Pentecostal revival. I always remember. I remember a lady my granddad fell in love with. She was some long skirt preacher, lay preacher woman. When testimony service came, she'd always get into some recital about the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. And when she'd get up to make a speech, it was always, behold! So I just sort of quiver when I even see that word in the Bible anymore. I remember Pansy. Pansy was her name. Pansy. Sister Pansy. My granddad loved her in his old age. Second wife. I told him he was crazy. Out of reach. I was out of reach when I told him. Even as a kid, I was not dumb. I didn't like her. Didn't like her at all. I just couldn't stand when I went to church as a kid. She'd interrupt me. I mean, church was boring when I was a kid. I'd go through the song book and read all the song titles and add under the bed. Hold the fort under the bed.
I shall see my Savior face to face under the bed. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there under the bed. I couldn't go to shows. I couldn't dance. I had to find ways to entertain myself. See, my granddad raised me when my parents were out in the evangelistic field. He's the meanest man in the world. We'd go to this silly little cracker box Pentecostal church where you'd come home. Good service, wasn't it? What'd he say? I don't know what he said, but the spirit was there when his tone changed. You didn't have church, really. You start out reading the Bible. If he did it in a normal tone, old Brother Crump was liable to get up, and he was a logger in his hobnail boots, and just you'd hear him clump out, "Lord's not in this place today." But if the Bible, if the preacher would come out and say, "Turn in your Bible to the second chapter of Acts," you knew God was there. And then somewhere a pansy would interrupt him and jump up and say, "Behold!" So I'm having a hard time getting... Am I boring you? I'm having a hard time getting past this, "Behold." And he said, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold! My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Let's just consider we didn't meet today. Just let it lay. I mean, I've uttered a "Behold," and that ends it. And the Lord said, he didn't faze him at all. And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And Gideon said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest to me." I mean, is this really happening or not, Lord? I mean, am I having delusions? I mean, if you're really speaking, show me a sign. Here, God, you sit here a while. I'm going to go cook something and bring you a present. You just stay right there. He had a real concept of who he was talking to. Jehovah, Gabor, Kail. No, Jehovah. Gabor, Kail. Let's go this way. Jehovah, the mighty one of Kail. You just set your buns down there, God. Take your mighty buns and place them there with all your Kail. You may need to eat something. Get a little strength. So he goes and he cooks him something fine and nice, brings it back, and God just puts his staff on it and whoosh, burns it up. Funny way of eating. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace, cessation of againstness be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. I ended here last Sunday and pointed out, having done our share of sympathizing with Gideon now, that his reaction to God and His Word was a nonstop spiel that J. Sidlow Baxter calls the vocabulary of doubt. Year in and year out for these many years, now going into the 18th, I preached on this subject saying, we have to rid ourselves of the vocabulary and attitude that produces it of doubt. When the messenger of the Lord bringing God's Word confronts us in our circumstance, and our circumstance defies God's Word. The message of Gideon is he's not going to change the circumstance in order to get us to believe his Word. We have to make our peace come to an altar where that side, that argumentative, doubting side, dies. And we quit arguing and surrender to God and His Word before the circumstances change. That's the message of Gideon. I've said it over and over again. I don't have trouble believing in God's power to heal when I'm well. I don't have any trouble believing in God's strength to heal and keep when I can bound over these lights and preach for an hour and not even break sweat. When I'm feeling fine, easy to proclaim, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. When I'm feeling fine, easy to proclaim, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When I'm feeling fine, easy to proclaim night after night, He wrapped Himself and wore our sicknesses and our infirmities and carried them away from us. And with His stripes, I was and ye were healed. When I'm sick, easy to proclaim, when I'm well, it's easy to proclaim in ringing tones, Jehovah Rapha, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. When I'm sick, it takes a little more effort, because the drag of the vineyard and the drag of the Midianites and the drag of the circumstance makes you want to say, if this be true, why in the hell am I suffering? Now, the same truth applies if your needs are financial. When you got plenty in the bank, it's easy to say, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. When there's nothing pressing in to give anxiety and to threaten your very existence, and the path looks smooth, and the road well traveled, no trouble to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, He leadeth me. And on I might go. The lesson of Gideon is to bring home the truth each year. Whatever Satan's tactics in this year, that the prince of the power of the air, that as Ephesians 6:12 declares, these rulers and authorities and world rulers of this darkness and spiritual hosts of evil in the air, whatever they have set upon you or me this year, typified by the Midianites for their 7 years, that have got us so beaten down that, like Gideon, all we can do when confronted with the word of the Lord is say, if and why and wherewith and alas. The message of Gideon is, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. I've already quoted it, I will hasten my word to perform it. The words of a near heathen, Balaam, in his prophecies and numbers, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And in your circumstance, wherever you are, you've got to make a decision. Am I going to surrender my reactions and my thoughts and my vocabulary that speaks out of the abundance of the heart, and at an altar die anew to this warfare between will circumstance claim me, or will God's word forever settled in heaven claim me? And at some point in that circumstance, before it changes, you make your peace with God and claim the promise. We have the same promise. I've been preaching on it in Psalm 84. We go from Kayil to Kayil. I'm so glad I preached as long as I did on Psalm 84 now. Whether you get anything out of it or not, it's become my lodestar through these days. I will come through this valley. From Kayil to Kayil, the Lord Jehovah, Gabor, the Mighty One of Kayil. At his disposal, everything that pours out of that name, Jehovah. I've already named some of it. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rophai, the Lord Jehovah who heals. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Sidkenu, if you're in a guilt-ridden state because of your stumblings, the Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, quit arguing. Make up your mind that you will pierce the molasses of circumstance and reach a finger up and grab the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you are, there I am also. I am with you to the end of the world. Don't let the world discourage us. I've overcome the world, he said. The same Jehovah in Christ by his Spirit, the Mighty One who brings Kayil, is there. And every promise I've preached these 18 years, and every one you know from your own research, is forever settled in heaven. And faith defies the circumstance and grabs those promises and comes out of that vineyard having made a surrendered peace with God, no matter what the circumstances say. Damn the circumstances. God's word is settled. In my case, sick I may be, but I'm the Lord that healeth thee is my promise as I march forth and defy the circumstances, and whatever circumstances defying you, God's word, claimed in that state, is your victory. And that is my message. I didn't go much further than last Sunday. but this is where I'm going to quit. Get on the telephone. Stop 29. Well, I think you ought to have. Well, I think you ought to have dock note 29. All you got to do is ask. The phone numbers will go on the screen as the music plays. For those out of the country, call collect. Area 818-240-8151. That's area 818-240-8151. To those in the United States, 1-800-338-3030. 1-800-338-3030. To those writing, mention the station you are watching or the frequency you're listening to and the time. And ask for dot note 29, which analyzes these words as cue cards for this message. It's yours for the asking.